Matthew chapter 7. Tonight our text will be found in verse 6. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. The title of the message tonight is Withholding the Gospel. Withholding the Gospel. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Now last week, we looked at this passage from verse 1 to verse 6. And we saw, first of all, this matter of judgment. We saw that God, being a just God, can, will, and must punish all sin. God is just and He must punish all sin. And He will punish every sin in a just degree. In other words, when a man sins, if he is to pay for his own sins, if he is going to go before God in his own righteousness, God will judge him based on his what he has done in this body, and God will give him a just judgment. I was talking to Andrew. Andrew asked me about judgment, about God sending a man to hell. And he said, "That doesn't sound right." I said, "That's because you don't understand what justice is. You don't understand what a just judge is, a right judge. God is right to send every man to hell based on his sin because God is eternal. And when we sin against an eternal God." And because of this, as we studied on Sunday, we are to give more earnest heed to this word. To the Word of God, because God will judge sin. And how shall any man escape the judgment of God? Is that possible? Is it possible for any man to escape the judgment of God? No. Absolutely not. There is no way that a man is going to escape the judgment of God. Friends, even us who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, we didn't escape judgment, did we? We didn't escape it. Christ paid for it. Judgment was rendered for our sins. Our sins did not escape the judgment and the just eye of God. They were punished in Christ, but they were punished. They were punished. No man will escape judgment. Not one sin has ever escaped God's attention. God does mark iniquity. God does count all sin. And all men will give an account of their sins. And not the sins of others. You know, a lot of people are worried about the sins of others, aren't they? They're so busy about the sins of others and looking and say, "Oh, look at that guy. Look what he's did. Look what he did. Don't worry about what he did. God's not going to judge you based on what he did. God will judge you based on what you did." That's judgment. That's just. And everyone, friend, that's in hell right now is not paying for sins of others. They're paying for their own sins. God is meting out eternal justice on them. And because God will judge all men according to their works, this should move all sinners to find a hiding place. Is that not right? If God is just and He must punish sin, then that should move men to find a hiding place. A place where God will not impute sin. And where's that? Where's the only place God will not impute our sins to us? Jesus Christ. He is the only place that God will not impute your sins to you. Those who are in Christ. It was this man alone that God sent to represent His people and procure for them a righteousness that they could not provide for themselves. This man's blood, Jesus' blood, is the only thing that God will accept in full payment for sin. Full payment for sin. When I say that, I cannot help but wonder, why will men not come? Why will men rather be judged in their sins and be found guilty before God rather than coming to Christ and having life? Why would they? Why would they try to stand in their own righteousness when they themselves can attest that they're not perfect? They themselves attest that they're not righteous, but Christ has a perfect righteousness. Why would you not be found in Him? God has promised that whosoever believes in Christ as their propitiation and substitute, He will not impute their sins to them, but He has already imputed their sins to Christ. You know, I remember that day when you found that out. Wasn't that a good day? That was a great day when I found that out, that my sins weren't going to be imputed to me in judgment, because they were already imputed to Christ and He had already suffered and died for them. And we that have found this out, we sing that song, "Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned and my guilt is all gone." It's all gone. So the judgment of God to a believer is not something we fear, is it? It's not something we fear in a dread. We don't fear God in a dreadful sense because our sins are gone. Now we do fear God. We do reverence God. And we know this, that God does judge us, His people in this world, by chastisement, doesn't He? God does judge us by chastisement. And so we fear the Lord and we walk before the Lord in fear. If you don't, you should. You should walk before the Lord in fear, in reverence. Remember that when Jesus here is telling us not to judge. Last week we talked about this, that we should not judge rashly or based on our feelings. God is having a judgment, that's right. But when we are talking, when the Lord's talking about here, is our judgment. And He says we're not to judge rashly. Not by our feelings or our thoughts, but by the Word of God only. We must judge ourselves first by God's Word, and then we may freely, lovingly, kindly judge others. Now we've come to the conclusion of this thought. Now this verse 6, our text tonight, is the climax of this thought. It's the conclusion of the thought of judgment. And this is a very solemn one, friends, and I think it's one of vital importance that the church has missed in our day. And if we don't heed it, we'll fall into the same trap as the other churches before us. Now, this is the conclusion of the matter. Here the Lord tells us, don't judge rashly, judge yourself by the Word of God, then you're able to judge others, and the truth must still remains, we must judge. You must judge wisely. You must. And here's what the Lord tells us about this judgment. He says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine." Now I want to divide this up. I want us to see what is holy and pearls. I want us to see what are the swine and dogs. And then I want us to see what will happen if we don't heed this admonition of the Lord. So first of all, pearls, holy pearls. Now this judgment is one concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, this gospel is truly a holy gospel. A holy gospel. Now that word holy means separate, doesn't it? When we say God is holy, we know it includes all of His attributes. God is holy in His righteousness. God is holy in His judgment. God is holy in His love. God is, that covers all of God's attributes. He's separate in everything. There's none like Him. Friends, then there's none like this gospel. And this gospel is holy because it is God's gospel. That's what makes it holy. That's what makes it holy. Friends, if I made up this gospel, it is no more holy than a trash novel you can buy in the store. If I made this gospel up, it's worthless. But God made this gospel, and because God decreed this gospel, it is therefore a byproduct of His nature, which is holy. This is a holy gospel. And it should be esteemed as such. How many times had the nation of Israel rejected and refused this gospel? God says this about His gospel. He says to the nation of Israel who despised it, He said, "You despise the word of the Holy One of Israel." This gospel is holy because God's the author. It's a reflection of God. So when you hear the gospel, what you are hearing is a reflection of God's character, God's nature, God's goodness, God's kindness, God's glory. You hear all of those things in the message of Jesus Christ. We see all of those things in Him. And friends, God has set His word above His name. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, "Thou hast magnified Thy word above Thy name." I know every one of you has heard that phrase, "A man's word is his bond." Well, isn't that true? I mean, can't you judge the character of a man by his word? Yes, absolutely. And friend, God tells you to judge God's character. How? By His word. Look at His Word and see what God says about Himself. God says, "I magnify this above My name." If this is not true, I'm not God. That's what He said. God's magnified this Word, and all that oppose God's Word are liars. Isn't that true? "Let God be true and every man a liar." God's Word's holy. It's separate from every other word. Number two, this word, this gospel, is a pearl. It's not only, now I mean, it's holy, not only that it's separate because God's the author, it's separate because it's only one of its kind. It stands alone and by itself. Now I'll tell you, friends, there are two kinds of religion in this world, true and false. Works and grace. Now, I don't care what you put on the door. You can put anything you want to on the sign outside. But what it comes down to is this. How is a man saved before God? How is a man redeemed before God? How can a man stand before God? If the answer is anything but grace, it is a false message. And I don't care if they put grace in it along with something else, it still is false if it is not grace alone. If salvation is not of the Lord by Himself alone without us, then it's not true. And we see this represented in Cain and Abel. We see that all religions are boiled down to these two at the very beginning. Works and grace. Cain, in chapter 4 and verse 3 of Genesis, "In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruits of the ground, an offering unto the Lord." And when you see Cain's offering, what do you see? I see the best that Cain had to offer. I do not doubt the sincerity of this man, Cain. I do not doubt his sincerity to bring the best of his fruits, to sacrifice the rumbling in his own stomach so that he might offer to God the best that he had. I don't doubt that he sacrificed. I don't doubt that he sweat. I don't doubt that he bled and he labored with his bare hands and did all of that hard work. I don't doubt that a bit. But friends, when he brought that fruit before God, God says, I will have no respect to that offering. I don't care how hard he worked. God didn't care how hard he worked. That was not enough to satisfy God. And this is a picture of all works religion. Any man that tries to worship God based on anything he's done, or by the deeds of his religious worship, or by the will of his flesh, all that offer to God of the fruits of their labor as a means of contributing or adding to the sacrifice of Christ, all that would strive to worship God by the obedience of the law plus the blood of Christ, all that would take their good deeds and try to make them outweigh their bad deeds, all of these will come to the same end of Cain. God had no respect for the offering of Cain, and he will have no respect to their offering either. But true religion is this. It's the religion of Abel. This is the religion of Abel. This is the true religion. And Abel also brought an offering of the firstling of his flock, of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel in his offering. Abel brought to God not the labor of this cursed earth, nor the labor of his cursed nature. What did he bring? A lamb. He brought blood. He brought blood. Why? Because he saw that God had brought the first sacrifice, didn't he? God brought the first sacrifice. God made a pattern. God gave the word to his parents. And this was the word. Blood. Blood was to cover sin. Genesis 3:21, unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. How did he make those coats of skin? He killed an animal. He shed innocent blood to make an atonement. And Abel says, I don't want to offer what I got. I want to do what God did. I want to follow what God said. God said blood. The blood of another must be offered. The only true and holy gospel that is to be offered is the blood of Jesus Christ alone for the atonement of sin. That's the only offering God will accept. And the minute we add anything to it, we've defiled it and made it vile in the sight of God. You add anything to the blood of Christ and God will not have respect to your offering. God will not have respect to your soul. He will judge you based on your works. And He will cast you into hell forever. That is a fact. That is the truth. Salvation will be by the faith in the blood of Christ alone as the only offering, or God will not accept it. If the Lord is to have respect to the sacrifice, it must not be by the works of our hands, the will of our flesh, or the religion of our hearts. It must be by the blood of Christ alone. And that's what makes this gospel stand out all by itself. It's separate. I mean, can't you see this? Can't you see this in the Muslim religion? I mean, this is how they really believe that their good works are going to outweigh their bad works. That somehow their God is going to put their works on a scale, and whichever one weighs out, that's what's going to happen to them. Well, isn't it the same as the Baptist church down the road? Who believes that you've got to add the weight of your will to the sacrifice of Christ, and then your God will let you in? It's the same thing. There's no difference between a Muslim and a Baptist if they both believe that their works are going to save them. There's no difference. You see, this gospel is holy. It stands alone. It stands all by itself. Scripture says, woe unto them that have gone the way of Cain. Isn't that right? Woe unto them who will have their own way about this matter of salvation. Friends, either salvation's of grace
or it's by works, but it will not be of both. They cannot be mixed, and if they are, it's not grace. Next, we see in this passage that it's not only called holy, but Jesus calls this a pearl. Why does He use this word pearl? Well, because pearls have great value. Pearls have great value. This gospel message is of great value to sinners. It's of great value to the souls of men. It's of great value to the hearts of God's people. It's of great value to me. I need this gospel now more than I ever have before. I need to hear it again and again and again. This gospel is so precious to me. It's of great value. And we should hold this gospel in great value. Sometimes I think we don't recognize the great gift that God has given us in this gospel. I think we take it for granted. I think we misuse this gospel, abuse this gospel. I pray God doesn't take it out. Church of Ephesus was a great church, but it's no longer here, is it? God snuffed that church out. Friends, we're not to take this gospel for granted here. It's a precious gospel. It's a precious gospel because it's the gospel of the person of Christ. He's precious. Next, let's look at this. Who are the dogs and swine? We see that this gospel is holy. We see that this gospel is good. Now then, this gospel is supposed to be withheld from dogs and swine. Now, who are these dogs and swine here? We that are saved, don't we long to hear the gospel and long for others to hear the gospel as well? Y'all pray this morning, this afternoon, you asked me to pray for your children. You long for them to hear this gospel. I know you do. I long for many of my family who are lost to hear this gospel that I'm preaching to you. I long for that. Yet here in our text, our Lord commands us to make a judgment. He commands you and I to make a distinct determination as to who is going to receive this gospel from our lips and whom this gospel is to be withheld. Our Lord commands us to withhold this gospel, this holy, this pearl, from dogs and swine. We say, Pastor, well, does not God tell us and command us to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Did not the Lord Jesus Christ send His disciples and His apostles out to preach? Does not the Scriptures tell us that pastors are to be ready in season and out of season to preach? Doesn't Peter tell us to be ready to give every man an answer of the hope that's in it? Absolutely yes to all of that. Absolutely. Absolutely. We are to preach indiscriminately to everyone. We are to preach to everyone as we are able to witness. We are to witness at every opportunity. It is not for us to judge who will receive this message and who won't. That's not what He's telling us. He's not telling us to look at a man and say, that's a dog. I'm not even going to speak to him right now. I don't even know who he is, but I'm not going to speak to him. I'm not going to tell him. The man's a dog. No, that's not what He's saying. That's not what He's saying. Is that not a rash judgment? Did we just say we're not supposed to make rash judgments? Absolutely. But this is a thoughtful, careful judgment. And I warn you, be careful about this judgment. But when you determine this, stick by it. Stick by it. These dogs and swine in our text are not just any lost man. This is not teaching us to withhold the gospel from the lost, otherwise no one would be saved. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? That's necessary for the lost to hear the gospel. Isn't that how you heard it? That's how I heard it. Somebody told me. Somebody preached to me. So then these dogs are not just any unbeliever, but these dogs are those that have heard and have a clear understanding of what you have witnessed to them and refused to believe it. That's what a dog is. This is what a swine is. When a man, you preach to a man, you witness to a person, and they fully understand what you're saying. And they oppose and blaspheme the gospel. It is from them you're not to debate, you're not to argue, you're to turn away. This scripture does away with every bit of what religion calls debating the gospel. You do not debate the gospel. This is not a debatable subject. This is a declaration to be made. It is not a debate. I'm not here to argue with men. I'm just here to declare what God says. That's all I'm here for. And if you declare what God says, and a man refuse, a man blaspheme, a man hate the gospel you preach, turn away from him and leave him alone. Don't go back. The Apostle Paul did this at Antioch. You remember when he came to those Jews at Antioch. And he said, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it is necessary that the word of God should be first spoken to you, but seeing you have put it from you, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 18, remember this last Sunday we talked about this, where the Apostle Paul shook the dust off his robe at these, and he said, I'm clean of you. I'm going to the Gentiles. Isn't that what he said? Why? Because they began to blaspheme and oppose themselves. Jesus, when He sent forth His disciples, He said, what did He say about them? He said, if they will not hear your word, what do? You take off your shoes and you dust them off at them and you turn and you leave them alone. Why? They're swine. They're dogs. Leave them alone. Have a wild dog. If you're a wild dog, come up to your children. What do you say? Leave him alone. Leave that wild dog alone. Why? He's going to bite you. He's going to bite you. Leave him alone. Even so, believers in Jesus Christ, we are to go into the world and preach the gospel. Yes, we are to compel sinners to come in. Yes, we are to be ready to give every man an answer and tell them of salvation, that the salvation is through Christ alone. But when they reject it, when they hate it, and they hear you, they'll turn on you and they won't have anything to do with it. Leave them alone and let them go. Friends, some, I know this, will hear the gospel. That's the encouraging thing about this, isn't it? Some will hear. And then some will hear you, but they won't really understand what you're saying. You ever been talking to somebody, y'all on two different levels? You're talking about the gospel, and they said, oh yeah, oh that sounds wonderful. Let me tell you how I made my decision for Jesus. Well, where'd you go? Where'd you come from? I wasn't even there. I wasn't talking about that. But you have people on different levels. Yes, go back to the ignorant. Go back to those who don't hear or don't fully understand what you're saying. That's not what Christ is telling us. Leave them alone. Those that are ignorant of the gospel, if they'll hear you, go to them. Oh, but when somebody finally gets what you're saying, it's altogether a different relationship, isn't it? There was a man that heard a pastor. He was preaching to a man, and this man stayed in his congregation for a few years. He thought he was hearing something. And then one day he actually heard what he was saying after 2 years. 2 years of sitting there. He finally heard what the gospel is. And he got up and he was so mad and he stormed out the door. He finally heard. When they finally hear what you're saying, that salvation is not by their works, not by their will, that they're hopeless and destitute until God does something for them, when they hear that, do you realize what they have to give up to believe it? They have to give up their religion. They have to acknowledge they're lost. And all those years in that church service was vain and empty. They would have to give all that up to come to Christ. And friends, if it's not the Spirit of God that convicts them of that, they will turn and rend you. They will hate you and they will oppose you. And when they do, leave them alone. I know I'm running long, but I think this is vitally important. Moose, when he was here, y'all have that paper back there about the man down the street, the Campbellite, who came and tried to proselyte in here, and Moose confronted him and with the gospel, and that man took off. He wouldn't even stick around. He went and told his pastor, and his that false preacher, he came down and he started trying to talk to Moose, and he couldn't refute him. And so what'd he do? He blasphemed the gospel throughout this neighborhood by passing out that tract, by passing out that lie. And Moose had to refute it. If you want, it's back there. Read it again. But this man, that man, he's a dog. He's a dog. I wouldn't go down there to try to proselyte him, try to get him to believe the gospel. I wouldn't tell him the gospel. He heard the gospel. And what'd he do? He blasphemed the gospel. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. He's judged himself unworthy of eternal life. And friends, make no mistake, when they do that, they are considering the blood of Jesus Christ as an unholy thing. You try to mix works and grace, what you're saying is Jesus' blood is not enough. I got to add something to His blood, and I'm good enough to mix my stuff with His blood. All you're doing, like a swine would run over a pearl. Now, a swine, he'll get a whole husk, and he'll chew on that. But he'll take a pearl and he'll stomp it into the ground. You see, the husk is more valuable than the pearl. To them, their works are more valuable than the gospel. Don't give it to them. Don't give it to them. Now, friends, I want to make this very clear that I believe this is the problem with our church today. This is the problem with so-called religion today. Do you realize that most of these churches in this area, these Baptist churches here, at one time, most of them preached the gospel? What happened? What happened to them? Well, they found people that they couldn't convince of the gospel, and what did they do? Instead of leaving them alone, they've compromised the gospel so they'll hear it. And that's what you'll do. That's what I'll do if we don't leave them alone. We think we know more or better than the Holy Spirit of God as to who should believe and who shouldn't. That's not for us to determine. We just simply declare the gospel, and if they blaspheme the gospel, leave them alone and don't compromise. Don't compromise to get them in the bench. That's what the church has done, and look at the church, so-called church, today. It is worthless. Why? They've let dogs and swine into the building, and yes, even in the pulpit. And don't think it can't happen here. It can. It can. If we're not obedient to what Christ tells us. Share the gospel with all who will hear it. But friends, if they won't hear it, this gospel is too precious to be just thrown out in the street. This gospel is too precious. Don't cast your pearls before a swine. And I'll tell you, when they turn and rend you, how hard is it to get your character back? When a man tells a lie on you, I guarantee it's harder for you to get back your name and reputation, isn't it? They'll do it. They'll try to do everything they can to destroy you if they hear this gospel. But when they refuse it, friend, leave them alone. Let them go on in their sins. Let them go on in their false religion. There's some people who are unfit to hear the gospel. That's not my words. That's Christ's words for you and me. It would do us good to be wise to determine who are the dogs and who are the swine and who are those in need of the gospel. Preach to everyone until they become unfit and turn and go to someone else. Friends, I pray that I hadn't muddied the water on this, but I pray that God would give us grace to understand what the Lord's teaching here. Don't judge rashly, but make that judgment so that you don't cheapen the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray the Lord bless this to us.